Welcome to DM a Dentist, your friendly neighborhood podcast, where Dr. Rusty and Dr. Mike are here to make dental care approachable for everyone. Because everyone deserves a healthy smile without the fear.
Well, well, welcome back to another episode of DM a Dentist. My name's Dr. Mike, and we have someone else in the chair today.
Hey, my name is Jack. I'm literally in the chair. I'm solely a patient.
Oh, so we have someone that's familiar with the dental chair. Not that he has bad teeth, but he just, you know, the other side. I don't sit in the dental chair much, but he does. So we're going to get his perspective today.
Thanks for having me. I know nothing about dentistry except from the patient's perspective. So I'm just going to kind of ask questions and, you know, hopefully represent the audience at large.
Represent the crowd. There that's you go. Right. So today we're actually going to tackle something that's been on the market recently. Nicotine. Mm. Especially with the youths.
It's good stuff.
So yeah, we're going to dive into that. So welcome back and let's get rolling.
Cool. So one thing I wanted to talk about was Zyns in particular. I feel like in the last couple of years, there's been a rise of different nicotine products and, you know, admittedly, I've used Zyns.
Yeah.
I know people who use Zyns daily, all day, and they think that it's safer because there's no tobacco in it. You know, it's easy. There's no smoke. And so they think it's a safer alternative. But I kind of get the feeling that maybe that's not true.
Well, from a cancer perspective,
sure,
Zyns have a lower risk of cancer incidence, which is good. So that's something like it's better in terms of to get your nicotine from a Zyn than it is from a cigarette, because sure, you know, the propensity for cancer from a cigarette is much higher than that of a Zyn.
Right, because cigarettes have so many additives and formaldehyde and a bunch of other products that are not products, but you know, content,
yeah,
that are harmful to the human body at large. But like, so why, I guess my question is, would be like, why is Zyn so bad? For me, my first thought is just not knowing anything about teeth, right? It's just, you're putting it directly against your gum. It burns.
Yeah.
That can't be good.
Yeah.
So what, like,
so the thing that the problem with Zyns is it's not necessarily like a cancer thing, even though there, you can probably get cancer from a Zyn. In dental school, we learned about smokeless tobacco, and the incidence of cancer is very low from smokeless tobacco.
So you might say like Zyns are the new age of like dipping.
Snuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So, but the problem with Zyns is if you put it in the location and continually put it in that location, you start to get what's called tobacco keratosis. And keratosis is a pathology. Like it is an abnormal tissue development that when you have cells that are changing, that's a problem, right? So you have something that's going from normal to abnormal. Even if abnormal is not cancerous, you still have something that's problematic. So you don't want to continually have those cells change over. Then you have more of a possibility of cancer.
Okay, so say more about that, because you say, is the word keratosis?
Yeah.
Keratosis, you say pathology. Pathology makes me think of cancer. So yeah, what exactly does that mean? Like, why do I care if the cells are or are not changing over in my gums?
Fair. Yeah. I mean, fair. Why would you care if it's not going to cause cancer? So what you'll, so what we notice, so like, okay, say you don't go to a dentist, right? And you want to look in the mirror and be like, do I have a problem with my Zyn pouch?
Sure.
If I look in the mirror and I look at the spot that I put the Zyn pouch at, and I see like white, like scaly looking tissue or oral mucosa, or for lack of better words, gums. Yeah. If that looks,
remember, I'm the patient. I don't know what you're talking about.
If that looks like a white, scaly little lesion, that's telling me that that Zyn, you've been using it for so long, it's starting to cause some change in how the gums look, right? So change is not necessarily bad, but change is something that's happening, right? So you're having some sort of pathology, whether it's some sort of like cancer or not, it's changing. So the longer you do it, the more possibility you have of some sort of cancerous cell getting in there, right?
Okay.
Also, with that type of thing, you have a decrease in the gum. So the gum covers the tooth and the bone. The gum will recede over time because it doesn't like being rubbed by this tobacco pouch.
Okay, or rather lack of tobacco pouch. Right, because there's no tobacco in a Zen. It's just nicotine.
Correct, I guess, yeah.
Okay. So, needless to say, the gum doesn't like being irritated.
Mm-mm.
So,
I mean, who likes to be irritated?
I mean, I'm irritated all of the time.
Yeah.
It's just a constant state.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting. So, you mentioned, like, white lesions, sort of, like, visual indicators that maybe your gum's not happy. Is there anything other than that that Zen users might look for? Like, for me personally, just looking at my teeth, sometimes I'm like, I feel like my gum looks too red. Is that a thing? Or am I making that up?
Yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be red. Maybe from like inflammation, things like that. But typically, tobacco keratosis has more of a whiteness to it. So yeah, that is something to like. So if you look in the mirror and you're like, okay, I have like this white little spot. And spot's not right. It would be the same size as the pouch, typically. Mm. Or you have gum recession. That's kind of a sign that there's some impact of using the Zen on your oral health, right? Some people don't even notice the visual aspect to it. They notice like, oh, this area of my mouth is more sensitive.
Mm.
And you get more sensitivity when your gums stop covering the tooth. So if your gums are not covering your tooth, you're more prone to sensitivity. So that's kind of what brings people in. They're like, oh, what's going on? Why is this happening?
Interesting. I actually never thought of the impact of gum recession to the tooth. I always thought it would be how the gum feels.
Mm-mm. Yeah, the gum covers the tooth. It's like an insulation almost.
Interesting.
Yeah. So people don't usually notice how their gums feel in terms of like, usually like a tooth-borne problem.
Mm.
Like, oh, my teeth are sensitive. I'm like, well, your gum's receded. So like, that's how we get down to that.
I see.
The issue with gum recession, I will say, is you can't really grow it back. And I say that with a caveat because you can technically grow it back with a graft.
I don't even actually know what a gum graft is. So
like if you were to burn your skin, right? And you got skin from another area of your body and you made like a graft, right? Like, you know, people know what a skin graft is where they typically cover parts.
Sure. So it's basically replacing
what's missing.
What's missing with.
Yeah.
Additional material.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to have my friend who's a periodontist in Colorado, Annika, on sometime. So she'll really dive into that.
So periodontist, periodontist, how does that differ from like a general dentist?
A periodontist does extra schooling and they specialize in the periodontium. So the part that supports the tooth. So the bone and the gums and the structures that hold the teeth in place.
Okay.
They specialize in that.
So as we talk about gum recession, that would lean itself more toward a periodontist.
Right. Like, and some general dentists do treat gum recession with grafting. It's just, I don't do that. But we would refer to a periodontist. And what they do is they take gum tissue off of the roof of your mouth and they place it and stitch it down where the recession is happening.
It's a bit ironic because the roof of my mouth is most often where I burn my mouth.
Yeah, same. Hot pockets.
So that's kind of a weird segue, but like when I burn the roof of my mouth with hot pizza or hot pockets or whatever, that fixes itself on its own, right?
Right.
So is the difference between like burning the roof of my mouth from like a one-off incident of hot pizza versus repeatedly using a Zen on my gum, is it that I'm not burning my mouth every day with pizza?
Right. If you burned your mouth twice a day with pizza for the rest of your life, that would be a problem.
It wouldn't be a good candidate for a graft for the other part of my gum.
Correct.
Got it.
Okay. You also would be at a higher possibility of cancer because your cells are turning over. Hmm. More damage to cells is the more possibility of some sort of cancer.
Interesting. So it's not really per se what you're putting in your mouth, it's how often you might be
doing it. It matters how often, but it also matters what it is. So like,
yeah, of course.
Like if, okay, cigarettes, right?
Okay.
You're not just breathing in hot air. Hot air would not be great because it doesn't, the gums don't particularly love, or the teeth or the supporting structures don't love hot gas in the mouth, right?
It's funny because I've been called hot-headed my whole life.
Wow. It's not, yeah.
Full of hot air.
Wow. Yeah, that it wouldn't be great, but the problem is you're when you smoke, you're breathing in a bunch of other things on top of mm-hmm. the hot air.
Right. So hot it's smoke. I've never thought about it this way, that way. It's kind of interesting, right? So like hot pizza, it's really hot pizza, hot air, irritation. It's the impact of how that is affecting your mouth. It seems to be more of a temperature disrupts than the disruption by the temperature plus the addition of the chemicals that you're putting in your mouth.
So it's like twofold.
Yeah.
So like with cigarettes, if someone were to smoke cigarettes, the problem with cigarettes is the tobacco with the hot smoke restricts blood flow in the gums and the tissue, and that limits the nutrients that are necessary to provide supply to the bones and the teeth. So that's why people that smoke cigarettes tend to get more like periodontal disease or like things like that progress faster, because you have the smoke and you have the chemicals and that is decreasing blood supply. Blood supply is what provides nutrients to certain things, right? So you need blood supply to organs, you need blood supply to fingers, gums, teeth, all that things. So when you smoke, you are diminishing that blood supply. So then those teeth, everything's not getting what it needs. So that's why people get like loose teeth, or like then you start to get stained teeth.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because smoking back in the day, I feel like the anti-smoking campaign started more so with like, oh, you don't want yellow teeth. It was less about the health, and it was never about the gums for sure.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, like, for those who smoke today, like, if their teeth are yellowing, if their teeth are starting to hurt, you know, is it like you have to quit smoking, otherwise you're going to lose your teeth? Or are there any alternatives that people can look into? Is vaping better? I mean, you know, I think that's why there's been such a rise in these cigarette alternatives like Zyns and like vapes. Because they've been initially deemed healthier, but we really don't know that much about them at this point, even though they've been around for, you know, 10, 15 years.
Yeah, it's a bit harder. Like, I don't know as much about vapes in terms of, like, long-term health for the gums and things, because it's not been around as much.
Right.
But there are some studies coming out with the lung health, and it's not great so far.
Right.
But I would
not to deviate too far away from teeth, but
yeah, no, it's hard because we don't have as much information. Just like Zens are, you know, weren't as common as they are now. Whereas it used to be like smokeless tobacco was a thing, and that, you know, so we're kind of here.
Right. It's kind of like, it's a little bit of a devil's advocate scenario, I feel like, in the nicotine world.
Yeah.
The
tobacco what would you world. Rather do?
Right. It's like,
I mean, anything's
better than,
I don't want to say anything. Some are better than cigarettes. Like cigarettes is kind of like the gold standard of the worst.
Yeah.
But
big tobacco
but the problem is like you're breathing in a chemical, the chemical's hot, and all that has negative effects not only on your entire body but specifically where it hits first, your mouth. So we have people that are, you know, losing teeth, or their teeth are becoming discolored, and that's not going to happen to everyone because everybody is different literally. So
right,
it's just important to recognize those things, and that can maybe be a motivating factor to quit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good point. Like everybody is different. I've had maybe four cavities, and I think three have been on the same tooth. And, you know, I'm not the best dental patient per se, but, you know, I try my best. Yeah. And at one point in my life, it was told to me, like, you could do everything right, and you're still going to get a cavity on this tooth. And so I think it's an interesting point that you bring up that, you know, people are different. Everybody's mouths and their compositions are different. And you could do the same, let's say, you know, tobacco or nicotine, Zyn, cigarette use as another person, and you might get periodontal disease way earlier. The other person may not. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a biological component. So, like, we have, like, genetic makeup that has a propensity to certain things, right?
Yeah.
But we also have environmental. So like if you have a biologic and then you also are doing something environmentally, you are just setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
But there are some people that don't have a biologic, right? They're not prone to that. So like if they do an environmental issue like smoking, their teeth are not going to be as bad.
An environmental meaning like the environment in which you surround yourself.
Right, things you choose to do.
Yeah, so okay, so the products that you're using.
So like there are people that are more prone to periodontal disease. They have the bacteria makeup, things like that in their mouth. Like they are going to get it regardless of what they do.
That's so interesting to me. So like what are some of the contributing factors to that? Like one thing I've always been really interested in is like why do we produce saliva? I don't really understand it.
Yeah.
I know that like for example when I did use a Zen, I was spitting a lot more. I felt like my mouth was full of
salivating.
I was salivating a lot.
Well, that's the thing about also also like smoking.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
Is the problem with that is you also are, when you smoke like that, you're causing inflammation to the salivary glands. So the salivary glands decrease the amount of saliva they're producing. When they do that, you don't have as much saliva, right? Mm. So the problem with that is saliva is important for decreasing cavities, and it's also important for buffering. So the way you get cavities is you have an acidic attack in your mouth. So that means like you're eating sugar, doing things like that. So you're changing the pH of your mouth. Saliva helps to buffer that. So that's why when people are like, I don't brush. Mm. I only brush once a day. I'm like, if you're going to brush once a day, brush at night. Brush twice, but if you're going to brush once, brush at night. Because when you're sleeping, you're not talking, swallowing, speaking. You're not doing all those
things. You're doing hopefully one of those things.
Yeah, you're not doing those things. So saliva is not moving through your mouth. So it's not able to like wash the teeth, coat the teeth.
I see.
So when you sleep, the bacteria just has a field day. So things like that are kind of important to recognize. Brush twice a day, but if you're going to choose one, brush at night.
Right. And so what I kind of heard based on my limited experience is that I might be salivating more during a Zen use, but it's because my mouth is overcompensating for what is happening inside of it.
And it is funny, like when you do eat things or like lemons, or your mouth does salivate more to like prepare.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's more just of like a theoretical, right? I'm just like thinking about saliva in the mouth and what happens as you use certain products, and I think lemons and other things that are shocking maybe to the mouth is a good analogy, right? Because your mouth is overcompensating for almost like an attack. Like no one, at least not in my experience, loves eating sour things. Like you salivate for a reason.
Yeah, well I have patients that love lemons, so
wow. My sister included.
I'm just like, please. So I do want to hit on a couple things, right? So smokeless tobacco, I'm going to put Zens in there as well. Whatever. I know it's not, but whatever. So it causes a keratosis of the tissue, which is caused by the constant friction of the pouch.
And keratosis, let's just go back to remind ourselves, is what?
Keratosis is a tissue change. So it's a change in color and appearance of the gum itself.
Got it. Okay.
So it's no longer that red pink color. It starts to turn white and scaly. That's what tobacco keratosis is. So I consider that, even if it's a Zen, a tobacco keratosis.
Sure.
So it's a change in the color, shape, texture of the tissue itself.
Okay.
So that tells us you've been using it a long time or you use it frequently. So the lesion develops, as a habitual chewing habit, right? So that's kind of a sign to us. And then it's also important to realize that smoking cigarettes, in terms of if we're going to discuss nicotine, smoking cigarettes, twofold, right? The chemicals that go into your body, bad for your body. Chemicals are also bad for your teeth and gums, sure. But you have heat. The heat component's not good for the teeth, right? The positive bacteria, positive cells, things like that, don't love the heat. Second, the smoke is not good for things, right? You're depriving things of oxygen. And then you have this idea that you're reducing blood flow in certain areas. Reducing blood flow, things don't like that. So you don't get as much tissue support. So you don't get as much nutrients to certain areas of the body, but specifically we're talking about the mouth. You don't get as much blood supply. So then you're lacking nutrients. So the body's use it or lose it. So it'll start to decrease the gums, decrease the supporting tissue of the teeth. So that's like why it's important to kind of avoid those things.
Yeah, it's really interesting talking about this to me because I've never thought about the heat component as it relates to damaging the gums or the teeth or just the mouth in general. And it's almost like a double whammy, right? It's like, I think heat and then also irritation. Maybe I can combine those two. If we're talking about cigarettes and then Zyns, it's the initial impact to the mouth that kind of like hurts it. And then it's what's inside that like further hurts it.
Yeah.
No. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that's true. So it's like it's something that we need to combat, but the youths love it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a tricky subject.
I agree.
So if you were to have a patient in your chair, and I guess coming from someone who would be maybe embarrassed to admit it, right? They say, do you smoke? Do you do Zyns, smokeless tobacco? Even if I did it occasionally, I would say no.
Yeah.
And so you can tell, right? Typically.
Okay. Yeah, I would say.
It's not 100%.
It's not 100%. I mean, if someone's been using it for a long time, totally. Yeah.
Right. And so if I say no as a patient and you're like, okay, I can tell that they do. Let's say I need a graft, right? How do you, as a dentist, maybe approach that conversation, or how do you maybe suggest as a patient that I be more forthcoming? Because it's something that I think tobacco use, nicotine use in general is shame. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I feel like typically people are ashamed to say like, yes, I do that.
Yeah.
And so do you care? I mean, sort of, what's your opinion on?
Yeah, I think that everyone has a vice. I think I don't care what people do.
Yeah.
So I think it's important.
You're not there to judge us.
No. I think that, you know, this brings back to some point when, like, someone was talking to me about, like, so in Portland, we are still trying to figure out a way to ethically help homeless people. Like, you know, throwing money at the problem is not fixing the problem, right? Mm. We're trying to figure that out. And someone told me, like, you can't get mad. Like, people get mad at houseless people for using drugs or things like that, right? And they were like, well, what do, like, we do when we have a hard day? We go get a beer. What do we do when we go? Some people, like, will smoke a joint. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, it's important to recognize that everyone has something in their life that they use to cope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's good or bad coping.
Yeah. But, you know, if I may interject in your stream of consciousness.
Sure.
You know, there's a very famous author. His name's Alan Carr. Mm. And he writes books about how to quit different vices, if you want to call it that. He has one on alcohol, he has ones on cigarettes, etc. And one thing, and I did read one of them, and one thing that stuck out to me was he compared nicotine addicts to like drug addicts. And he's like, the mindset is the same, right? And you don't look at it the same way because it's accepted by society that people smoke. It's okay that you have a couple of beers after work or whatever.
Right.
And we don't view it the same as something like heroin.
Yeah, no.
Is viewed.
And I think it's important to realize that everyone has their own thing, right? Like, so don't feel like you're being judged. I mean, we ask it on our intake form, obviously, and I'm sure people don't really answer it.
Yeah.
But no, it's important. I mean, I would bring it up and just say something like, you know, I've noticed something on your gums. I wouldn't say it's concerning, but it's something I want to address, right? Like, it's important that we figure out why it's happening, but B, kind of come up with a game plan long term to see what we want to do about it. So we'd go into that discussion. And I mean, we do tobacco counseling at work.
Really?
As dentists. Yeah.
Say more.
We can prescribe drugs to help quit, like Chantix. Like, we can do all of that. But yeah, we talk about tobacco. We talk about, yeah. That's part of our training.
That's interesting. I don't think a lot of people know how much dentists can provide outside of just your teeth.
Yeah, no, we do tobacco counseling. Hygienists do it. Like, we all know. We were taught it. Yeah, it's wild.
You also do sleep apnea.
We do sleep apnea.
I think, right?
Yeah. We should talk about that in another podcast. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We definitely will. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed this little nicotine adventure. Jack, thanks for being here.
Thanks
for
having me.
Yeah, of course. And thanks again for tuning in to DM a Dentist. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of DM a Dentist, brought to you by Dose of Dental. And thank you for your interest in improving your oral health. If you'd like your questions answered by Dr. Rusty and Dr. Mike, visit us at doseofdental.com or DM us on Instagram at Your Daily Dose of Dental.